Hey, how are you all? Oh my gosh, it's been such a long time since I recorded a podcast. Oh my gosh, the thing is, there is so much that's going on, and it's all good, actually. It is all good. Today is November 3rd, 2020, and it's election day. Right? It's election day. I'm pretty sure everyone went out to vote. They're probably still out voting. I actually did my vote I did the mail-in. I've been doing mail-in voting for quite some time. And actually, there was a memory that came up today on Facebook for me. And it was actually my sister's memory, and she posted something about my grandmother, because in 2008, which was, what is it, it's 2008, 2012, I mean not 12, it's 2020, 2008, so 12 years ago, that's the reason why I said 12, so 12 years ago, my paternal grandmother made her transition. She did. So 12 years ago today, my paternal grandmother made her transition, and it was an election year, okay, where we elected the president. So my grandmother actually did a mail-in ballot prior to, and her mail-in ballot was received. So although she made her transition on election day, because she mailed it and her ballot got to the, through the post office and everything in time, her vote counted, even though she was deceased. Now, that was the year that POTUS, Barack Obama, went into office. And actually, his grandmother voted the same way. She did a mail-in ballot, and she made her transition on the same day. So this is even the anniversary of the transition of both former President Barack Obama's grandmother and my grandmother, that both mailed in their ballots, they made their transitions, and their vote counted. Right. So since then, I've done my voting the same way. I've done it the same way. The only time that I did not do that was the a couple of years ago, about 2 years ago, when it was the primaries. So I do remember going out to the polls and voting at the school during the primaries. But yes, I usually vote by mail. So I mailed in my ballot a couple of days ago, actually. And so today is that day, you know. Now, actually, we have a public opinion vote, and they do count in another way. However, we do know and understand that the Electoral College is that's what selects the presidents, right? And then we have the popular vote, which is the public opinion vote that we all went out to do. And you know, and they do matter. So I don't want to put it out there like, oh, it doesn't matter. And you know, it does matter. It does matter. Okay. It matters for your state. It does. It does matter for the state that you live in. And this is the reason why we have, the popular vote, where we have Democratic states, and then we also have Republican states, because of course, when that public opinion vote is counted, you know, it's the, you know, what was the winning ballot, or the, the winning for that particular state. And each state in the United States, each state is like its own country, right? So who you voted for as president, that will be your president for your state. And then you have your governor and so forth and so on. So it does, you know, it does matter. So, you know, be sure to just look out for the things that happens in your state moving forward. And let us pray. However, no matter who you voted for, my hope for you, each and every one of you that is listening to the sound of my voice, is that you will decide to cast your vote for your own family in regards to wealth. Because that is what matters the most, right? Your dollar for your own household is what matters. And that's what I want to talk about with this particular podcast on this day, which is like a relaunch, okay? A relaunch of this podcast on election day, where it is Scorpio season. Not only that, Mercury is going direct now. It's pretty much in its shadow period, but Mercury is going direct. And I felt like, hey, what better day to relaunch this podcast than this day? Now, many people are afraid of Mercury retrogrades. Every time we hear about a Mercury retrograde, it's like, oh, Mercury retrograde, no, my life is over and I can't do anything, yada, 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 yada. And I'm not saying that people don't experience, you know, some issues with Mercury retrograde. However, if you know how to work with the retrogrades, then it's not as painful as we make it out to be. You know, retrograde means that we need to do what? We need to reflect, review, and revise. This is a time to look at, you know, that sign that Mercury is in, that it's causing you to say, hey, okay, this is where I need to, you know, go back and cross my T's and dot my I's, right? This is where I need to go back and edit. This is where I need to look at the fine details of things and say, oh, shoot, you know, right here, I forgot to add my comma or you know. And you know what I'm saying? Like, you're writing a paper and then you turn that paper in and then you get the paper back and, you know, it's showing you all your grammatical errors and all of that, you know, how you can tighten this up and how you can not seem or be redundant, right, in your paper. That's all Mercury retrograde is. Now, in a particular sign, you have to see what that sign is, all right, that you need to look at. So Mercury retrograde in Scorpio, because Scorpio is the sign of the culmination of energy, the bonding of energy. Scorpio is a sign of wealth, okay? It's a sign of wealth, but this is where you go into partnership and you bring your resources together and say, this is what we have together. And we make that bond, okay? That bond to move forward with wealth building. And so this is what Mercury retrograde has done. And these past 3 weeks, oh my gosh, when I say that Mercury retrograde in Scorpio has been litty, that is exactly what it has been. Not only for myself, but for my business partners, people that, you know, because that's something that I did myself. I'm like, I've just been on this kick of, let me reevaluate. Okay, a Mercury retrograde thing. Let me reevaluate my partnerships. Do we have the same values? Can we bring together the resources that we have? You know, our inner resources, our energetic resources. But not only that, Well, I will say that, because these things will manifest itself in the material realm, being, you know, that opposite sign being that of Taurus, which is an earth sign, which is material, right? So we have this deep energetic bond in Scorpio, and then it will manifest itself in our material wealth, right? Our self-esteem and, you know, the tools, the actual manifested tools that we utilize, like our money, right? Our dollar, where we take that and we invest it, okay? We invest it in order for it to grow. You know, we invest that dollar in appreciating assets. This is what the Mercury retrograde in Scorpio has been for me personally, and for my business partners as well. Like earlier today, I did a podcast with my business partner, Maven. Shout out to Maven Muse. So when I get the information for her podcast, right, you know, I'm going to share that with you, but you could look that up. Maven Muse, she has her podcast, and we were on and we were talking about, and we had it was a really great podcast. It was long and it was great, right? So I don't want this particular podcast to be, hold on here. I hope it didn't stop. Okay. I didn't want this particular podcast to be super duper long. However, we talked about these things, you know. She's an Aries like myself. She's April 6th and I'm April 9th. So we really work well together, you know, like a yin and yang. It seemed like we just hit it off immediately because, you know, we have a lot of the same values. We think the same. You know, we're problem solvers. Okay. We see a problem and we immediately, there's a solution, you know, instead of it being this, oh, complain. Like, no, we see the problem, but a solution, and quickly. Like we have to rectify this quickly. We have to get the solution quickly so that we can move forward quickly and not waste time. Right. That's how we are. And so Mercury retrograde for us as partners has been like great. And we've just found ourselves with this community of not only like-minded, but like-spirited people that do have the same mindset of, hey, let's get this money, right? Let's take this tool of money, because we have a healed relationship with money, and we will invest it in the Forex market. And not only just leave it there, but now we take this and we reinvest in appreciating assets, whether it's gold, silver, you know, guap, blockchain, a cryptocurrency, all of these great things, the stock market, Tesla. I mean, just all of these different things, right? Because we've seen people get rich. I know for myself, I'm a second generation network marketer, right? Which means that coming up, growing up, me just being around in the culture, I got a taste of it. Just being, like I said, around in the culture. I've seen people get rich. They go from rags to riches and then riches back to rags. I've seen that. I've seen the culture of network marketing and the good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent. And when I became of age, I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't want anything to do with it. I did not, right? I knew that I wanted to be self-employed. I knew that I wanted to work for myself. And I had a skill set. You know, I had a talent for hair. Since I was 4 years old, I was doing hair. You know, you asked me at 4, I want to do hair. You asked me at 8, I want to have my own salon doing hair, right? You asked me at 16. I was looking for beauty schools to go to, right? 19 came around. Guess what? I was enrolled in beauty school. I graduated. I got my license. I became a licensed cosmetologist. I went through 3 salons and managed them. And by the 3rd salon, I kind of rethought, like, I don't know if I really want to do this. you know, because I wanted freedom. And what salon management and owning a salon looked like was that, hey, if I had, you know, stylists in there that were renting, that's one thing, and that's great. You know, like, yeah, I'm making money, and then, you know, I'm getting booth rent from my stylist. However, if they decided to leave and there was nobody in there but me, then guess what? I had to be in there and chained to my styling chair. And so I had to rethink that. But then not only that, you know, I married, I had more children, and with the fourth child that I gave birth to, I experienced some health issues because I was a workaholic when I was pregnant with my fourth child, because I knew I was going on maternity leave and there was no 401k or anything like that for me. It was cash, right? It was cash money. So I'm like, I need to money up so that when I'm on this maternity leave, I'll be okay until I get back to work. Well, that caused a health issue for me. I experienced carpal tunnel, sciatic damage, all of that. I could not write. I could not work with my hands. I could not hold my baby. And that was the first time that my mind, you know, it clicked and I said, oh my gosh, what happens if I cannot work with my hands? My hands were my money makers, but at that time I was on steroids popping these pills. And if my wrist and the carpal tunnel didn't get better, I would have to have surgery, which really would have put me out of commission. So that made me pray and say, hey, I don't want to work for money. I need money to work for me. And at that point, I fought against the very prayer that I prayed. Yes, I did. For years, I fought against the very prayer that I prayed, because while my prayers were being answered and I was learning about, you know, the difference between being an employee and, you know, self-employed and a business owner and, you know, those four quadrants, I was learning about that. But then desperation would kick in when I needed money, right? Now, I had money. It's just that I didn't have the same money that I had. You know, before, I'm like 20, you know, in my 20s, my early 20s, and I'm in like $5,000 a month cash. And then next thing you know, I'm at home as a wife and having more children, and I'm at like $2,000 a month. I was $3,000, like $3,000 loss. Right? A $3,000 loss. Now, everything was okay. You know, I wasn't hurting. You know, my household was straight or whatever if we didn't go out and splurge and stuff like that. But I was negative $3,000 from what I was used to. And so that was like, whoa, you know? And desperation would kick in. And it's like, oh, let me fall back on what I know, which is, you know, my hands were a little better. You know, I could do hair and I could do hair out of my house. However, I wasn't being led in that direction. And so every time I went back to do that and fall back on that because, hey, I needed some money in my pocket, or, you know, I didn't want to, it just all of these kind of different things or whatever, it would push me further and further back from what I was being led to. You know, learning about wealth and learning about financial literacy and all of these things, and how to make money with my mind as opposed to my physical body providing a service. Right? So those are the things that, you know, that I went through. I mean, there's like, I have quite a story. You know, that's not even all of the story, but that's just quite, it's part of the story. You know, it's especially with being, you know, a work at home I call myself a WHAM, you know, a work at home, homeschool mom and caregiver to my adult daughter with disabilities, you know. So it's been quite the journey, and I had to fall back on something that I knew that was, you know, a culture that I grew up around. I didn't want anything to do with network marketing, but because I was home, it was like, hey, let me try my hand at this. And making sure that I'm you know, marketing a product that I use, that I believe, and that I believe in, because I'm all about integrity. You know, I'm just not about selling something just for the sake of, you know, money and you know, building a downline and all of this kind of stuff. But if I don't sell it, would I use it? You know, if I don't use it myself, then I can't get behind it, right? So I went through that. You know, I went through different network marketing companies and the products, and you know, I'm all for natural things. So it was more so of that. However, it was still that product base. Now, here's the thing about when people often ask about pyramid schemes, you know, things like that. You have to know and understand what a pyramid scheme is. A pyramid scheme or a Ponzi scheme is when you're exchanging or circulating money, exchanging money without an exchange of a product or service. That's what a pyramid scheme is. According to the law books, according to the courts, that is what a pyramid or Ponzi scheme is. So, you know, your gifting programs, like your susus and your blessing circles and all that kind of stuff, that's really considered a Ponzi scheme. You know, no matter how, if we want to make it a wheel or a butterfly or a lotus flower or whatever, because there is no product being exchanged or service being exchanged, that really is, by definition in law books, considered a Ponzi scheme or pyramid scheme. Well, what's not a pyramid scheme or a Ponzi scheme is when you do have money circulating, but there is a product or service being rendered. Okay, so let's be very, very clear about that, right? So what we're doing, because it's especially in this day and time, you know, money is being circulated around. However, it comes and it goes quickly because many people aren't financially literate. Many people are not financially literate. And the reason being is because financial literacy is not taught at the grade school level. Financial literacy should start at least at the third grade level. But in most of your schools, you know, if it's not the, you know, the wealthy schools or whatever, because I'm pretty sure it's being taught there, but just in your common, you know, public school education, financial literacy is not there. So, you know, although we may have titles and degrees and PhDs and all of this kind of, all of these kinds of things, and, you know, high income earners, maybe $120,000 annually and up, you know, $400,000, $500,000. However, well, actually, when you get up to the $400,000 and $500,000 earners, believe me that they have some financial literacy going on. But you know, your professionals, most professionals that I know, really don't have, they're not financially literate. And it's by design. That's the thing about it. It's not here to talk about anybody or, you know, anything like that. It's truly by design. At one point, I wasn't financially literate, and I know that. Okay, that was the one thing that I knew. I saw how people around me handled money. I saw how my family handled money. And especially because money was coming in, like a lot of it, and the next thing you know, we didn't have it anymore. So I knew that something was wrong when it came to finances, and that I needed to learn it, because what I did not want to have my children experience, although they did, right? Although we did experience it. But I wanted to break that. I wanted to break that cycle. And I knew that I had to learn about money. So I didn't have, you know, a rich uncle or anybody that I could really, you know, go to and say, hey, can you teach me or mentor me or whatever? So I started buying books. Books is what I knew, right? Come from a background of educators. So books is what I knew. So I figured, let me buy some financial books. And they started out with, I think my first financial book was Smart Women Finish Rich. And then another from there was Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And then, actually I bought Rich Kid, Smart Kid first. And then I bought Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And then I bought, you know, my mom had the Millionaire Next Door. And I didn't want to buy that book. I said, forget The Millionaire Next Door, because that sounds like Keeping Up with the Joneses. I want to know what the millionaire thinks. And then next thing you know, boom, The Millionaire Mind. I saw that book in the bookstore, and it was by the same author who wrote The Millionaire Next Door, right? And so I bought that book because I wanted to know the mindset of the millionaire. And then I bought the next book, The Millionaire Women Next Door, in which this is the relaunch of this podcast with a new name. And that is The Millionaire Women Next Door, The Journeys of Successful Business Women of Color. This is where we are now. And so from here on out, we will talk about the journeys of, you know, being an entrepreneur as a woman and a woman of color, and then also interview women of color in business and their entrepreneurial journey. This is going to be awesome. I'm telling you, it's going to be awesome. And look, and there will be no need for me to relaunch again, because this podcast is definitely moving forward with The Millionaire Women Next Door. Okay. But the next book after that was Stop Acting Rich and Start Living Like a Real Millionaire. Right. And just all of these other mindset books when it comes to wealth, but then also, you know, books that have the practical application. So once the mindset is, you know, it's there. And then, you know, then from there, it's the how-to. Because we could do theory all day and all night long, but theory is nothing. You know, it's a concept, but we have to manifest that concept. We have to bring that concept into a reality. It has to be tangible. We have to see measurable results, right? With this mindset, okay? We want to come out of the clouds of our thinking and really manifest it where we can see it, touch it, taste it, smell it, eat it, you know, all of this kind of stuff. Be in it, be comfortable in it, travel in it, vacation in it, and be okay. And not, you know, like this book talks about here, stop acting rich and start living like a real millionaire. You know, where we're doing the lifestyle thing, and we're posting it up on Facebook and Instagram and stuff like that. However, we probably don't really have the lifestyle, right? It's like, I don't want to do all of that. I want this lifestyle to be authentic. Okay. Any pictures that I would post about it, it's like, no, this is what we do for real. And we have the money to match. Right. And we're not coming home to the lights being turned off or past due bill and stuff like that, because we're trying to portray this image of certain things being a certain way that it's not, right? So anyway, you know, those are the things that myself with my own journey that I've been going through over the years, and now it's really truly manifestation time of the wealth, right? I mean, the household is fine, okay? My household is straight now. The money is stable now. But we have to do more than just, you know, be stable in the finances. We're talking about generational wealth. We're talking about what we can pass down, you know, and operating that principle of leaving an inheritance to your children's children. You know, I have one granddaughter. She just turned 11 in September. She's tall. I'm short. Okay. She's tall and I'm short, because we're about standing shoulder to shoulder and looking eye to eye. She's 11 and I'm 45, right? So I'm looking at my granddaughter who I am leaving an inheritance to. But then not only that, training my children and teaching my children by example how to do the same. You know, so where I'm leaving an inheritance to my granddaughter. And so, and my other grandchildren, because I'm pretty sure I'm gonna have some more, right? With seven children, I'm bound to have at least four of them have some more babies. Okay, but I know my daughter is done. She's not having any more. And way is looking, my eldest son, he's not having any. He's going to be the rich eccentric uncle, right? That his nieces and nephews would like to kick it with. Okay, but I do have three more sons. Four more sons that may possibly have at least one or two children apiece. Okay. So you're talking about wealth. Like, yes, this is a time I have to do that in order to see, you know, where they have the support, where it's not, you know, they have to do certain things because, you know, it's survival I have to do this. No, you can choose. And it's not out of desperation, you know, and you can be creative with this and you can take your time to figure out what you really want to do. But in the meantime, you know, you have this skill set and you learn these skills of going in business for yourself, of being an entrepreneur, you know, and we pass that down to them so that when they do receive their education, if they decide, hey, I want to go to a college or university, you know, and be trained in a certain thing, or even if it's a trade, you know, those things, but they know that they can take that, but then they apply this to business, being an entrepreneur, right? And we have something to continue to pass down. You know, we're not passing down struggle anymore. And that's what this Mercury retrograde and Scorpio is all about. You know, going back, revisit those things, revise those things, you know, reevaluate them and write these things down to know that, okay, you know, this is my why, this is why I'm doing this, this is what's driving me, you know, it's bigger than me, and it's bigger than my family, right? Because, okay, my family can be straight, but I have next door neighbors, okay? Are they straight? Because if my next door neighbors are not straight, but I'm straight, guess what? My next door neighbors and the people across the street and the people down the street or whatever, they're looking at me or looking at my house and might want to break in. So no, I need my neighbors to be okay, right? I need my neighbor across the street to be okay. I need my neighborhood to be okay. I need my community to be okay. So this is bigger than me and my household. You know, this is reaching out to the neighbor, you know, and the next neighbor and the next neighbor, where we have a strong community of wealth, because wealth is built by communities. Okay. There's no such thing as a self-made millionaire. It's impossible. That can't happen. Or if they do, they'll lose it, right? That's the rich person. They'll lose it because it was like, oh, I got this by myself. Okay. Then you're going to lose it by yourself too. Right. But we're not doing that here. So with this Mercury retrograde and Scorpio, we have gone back. You know, I'm reaching out to people that I know was in my neighborhood that I grew up with, you know, in the hood and all of that kind of stuff. But I knew, you know, I know where we come from, right? I know the grind and everything that we have. And so it's like, hey, let's take that skill set. Let's take that grind, you know, that we have. And put it into this, put it into this where we can really go back and, you know, go back to our communities and the ones they have that have their hand out or up to be helped. Okay. Not a hand out, but a hand up. Right. Those that have their hand up to be pulled up, not just have their hand out to get something. You know, we can't do anything with those. But the ones that's like, yeah, pull me up. I want to be up there. I've been trying, but I didn't know how. I didn't have the proper tools or whatever. It's like, yeah, come on, you know. And that's what we've been doing. I've reached out to people, you know, and it's like, come on, get on this wave, get on this energy, because when this Mercury goes direct, all right, it's because these things are called transits. Well, when you think of transit, I think of, you know, like CTA, Chicago Transit Authority, right? It's a transit. And what happens? People are standing at the bus stop or they're standing at the train station in order for, you know, this vehicle to pull up so that they can get on and then transit from one station to another. And that's what happens. That's what happens with these planets and this planetary energy in astrology, right? It's the transit. It's that transit energy of these planets. And when we align ourselves with that energy and we bring our vibrations and our frequencies up to that energy, we get on it, right? We get on it. And then guess what? We ride that energy to the next station. And that's what planets do. Like Mercury was in retrograde, right? It's going direct today, but it's stationed right now. It's like in a shadow period. And in this shadow period, it's almost like, okay, you know, the bus about to pull out the station or whatever, right? And so, you know, it pulled up a little bit because it's preparing itself. And you got your last... Okay, this is like your last call for people to come on and hop on this energy because it's about to pull out the station and go direct. And a lot of people, you know, it, especially in the astrology world, it's like, oh, this shadow period. I don't look at stuff like that. I don't look at it like that. I really don't. I look at it like in terms of, you know, things that you can really see in your practical everyday life. You getting on a bus and when it's about to pull out the station, you know, it may start gearing up or whatever. And this is the last call for people to go ahead and hop on board. And then next thing you know, when it's ready to just go direct, the doors close. Whoever missed and they didn't buy their ticket, or they did, or they maybe bought their ticket, but they was running late and they trying to run for the bus or the train or whatever. Oh, it's done pulled out the station, boo-boo. It's gone. It's gone. And so that's what we're looking at with this energy. This Mercury in retrograde, Mercury retrograde in Scorpio. Okay. This is the wealth energy right here.